Welcome to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers with Linda Prio. Will it be possible to remain in my home as I age? Do I feel safe in my home? How do I figure out how much support I will need when my health needs start to change? What if I decide to move into a community instead? Which community will meet my needs now and in the future? Who will play a role in helping me with decision making? Do you ask yourself these same questions? Aging in Place Strategies and Answers can help you gain practical knowledge that will help you create your own aging in place roadmap. If you are already a care partner, a power of attorney, or in crisis mode with your aging in place strategy, you will learn what you need to know that you don't know. For over 20 years, I have been marketing aging in place services to clients and educating families and healthcare professionals in how to put aging in place strategies into place. When you utilize aging in place, you are allowed to choose where you want to live and make those decisions so that you can retain your quality of life. Thank you for joining me today on Aging in Place Strategies and Answers. A couple of weeks ago, I attended the Missouri Alliance for Home Care Conference, and the conference confirmed that more care will be delivered outside acute care settings. There will be a greater usage of outpatient care settings or even the home settings. It is going to take a village and a variety of options to help care for our aging population. Managed care plans, not traditional Medicare, are here to stay, but most service providers agree that these plans suit the healthy senior the best. There is and will continue to be a healthcare worker shortage. At the conference, I visited the Department of Health and Human Services booth, and I learned that June is National Elder Abuse Awareness Month. So today, we're going to review what to do if you suspect elder abuse or neglect. We will also review the categories of abuse, signs of abuse, what is neglect, and the right to self-determination. In a more emergency type situation, you can always call your local police to perform what is called a wellness check or a citizen's welfare check. Police officers are able to perform welfare or wellness checks on behalf of concerned friends, loved ones, acquaintances, and coworkers. You are able to request a welfare check by calling 911 or a non-emergency police number. A consistent lack of contact, a mental health crisis, suspicious activity near someone's home, all justify a welfare check. However, if you have a feeling about a situation that you might have observed or been told about, or have a concern about, but cannot verify the specific details of that situation, it's okay. The adult protective services professionals are trained to handle these kinds of situations, so it's okay to leave the decision to assess and determine the best response to the professionals. So, if you suspect that there could be elder abuse or neglect, anyone can call the toll-free elder abuse hotline for your state, and it is okay to file the report anonymously. There is a list of mandated reporters who must report if they suspect abuse or neglect. The list of mandated reporters includes healthcare professionals, those working in healthcare, medical or dental providers, emergency response service providers, financial services providers, law enforcement personnel, mental health providers, as well as social service agencies. Mandated reporters must report suspected abuse just like you, even if they don't have all the details. Usually when a hotline call is made to report suspected abuse, you will provide the individual's name and address, and you can also provide their age and or date of birth if you might have it. They will also ask for your information, but again, you can always make this report anonymously. And after the report is made, there should be fact-finding and the offer to connect the individual with support services. So I like to think of this not as punitive, but as helpful. And I hope you will consider that as well. And we also know that sometimes it takes multiple reports to bring a person up on the radar of the Department of Health and Human Services. So I always say the more people that report, the better. And that is a very helpful tip and tool. In previous podcasts, I have mentioned that seniors are a protected class of people and have rights that cannot be denied. Now, a word from our sponsor.
The Neptune Society is the oldest and largest cremation service in the United States. For over 50 years, the Neptune Society has been proud to provide signature service to the families they've served. With a prearranged funeral plan, you can declare what you want done at the time of your passing, pay for it in advance, and not leave your survivors with the cost of your final arrangements. Call 314-266-2898. That's 314-266-2898.
Let's return to the podcast. Knowing the categories of potential abuse and what to look for can be very helpful. Senior abuse can be physical, mental, or sexual. The physical signs of abuse are a little easier to observe. Broken glasses, bruises, broken bones, burns, jumping when another person is in the room, or overclothing in warm weather. Emotional abuse involves any type of coercive or threatening behavior that sets up a power differential between the older adult and his or her family member or caregiver. It can also include treating the older person like a child and isolating the person from friends, family, and regular activities. Signs of emotional abuse are becoming extremely withdrawn, non-communicative, or non-responsive. You might even notice changes in sleeping or eating habits, any unusual behavior. And of course, nobody wants to talk about sexual abuse, but we do need to be aware of torn or bloody underclothes, bedding, sexually transmitted diseases, bladder or bowel problems, and the fear of speaking in the presence of another person. Financial exploitation is the misuse, mishandling, or exploitation of property or possessions. It also includes using another's assets without consent, under false pretense, or through coercion and/or manipulation. If you would hear that they don't have a car because someone else took it, that should be a red flag. And by asking questions, you can determine whether someone took it, someone borrowed it and didn't return it, or that they didn't know that their car was not there. Looking for unusual financial activity, missing bank records, addresses or names being changed on accounts, and purchases being made without the individual's knowledge or consent. Forged signatures, scammer activity, missing belongings, changes in power of attorney, trust, or will, or deed of property. You have heard that money is the root of all evil, and it is. In my career, I have been aware of many cases where distant relatives, well-intended neighbors, or friends, or even caregivers that work for the client and have exerted undue influence over the senior, that these kinds of and forms of abuse have happened. In fact, I have even seen houses being signed over and other such nonsense. Here's an example. One of our clients did not have any children of her own, but she did have a niece and her husband who began exerting undue pressure on the aunt to sign over the house to them. The astute social worker at the community where the client was in for a short-term respite stay had found out some information. And so she asked the patient who would be leaving their community soon, would you be interested in hiring and knowing more about a care manager that could help you with your health care decisions? And the lady said, yes, she would, that she already had an attorney, but she would like somebody to help her with these items. And so when she transitioned home from her short-term rehab stay, with the care manager being present and available, the relatives, interestingly enough, became less involved with their aunt because now they had nothing to gain. So, my friends, as much as we hate to talk about it, I can tell you that it does happen. If you have a loved one living alone and in another state without a support system in place, please be aware of these signs and symptoms. If you are unable to provide proper support yourself, then please consider hiring a care manager or having care provided through an agency that has W-2 employees. In this way, you can monitor the oversight, the companionship, and the support being given to your loved one. You can also, with consent from the senior adult, pay the bills, order the groceries, and set up payment systems for prescriptions so that there is less opportunity to use credit cards and cash. If your loved one should mention that they don't really like a particular caregiver, then the agency can do their diligence and make sure that it is a good care situation for the senior. Neglect is the failure by individuals to support the physical, emotional, and social needs of adults who must depend on others for their care or well-being. It might include inadequate food, medications, and access to healthcare professionals. Physical neglect is the failure to meet the person's medical, hygienic, nutrition, and dietary needs, failing to give medications, arrange doctor appointments, changing bandages, bathing, grooming, and dressing, or failure to provide ample food to maintain health. These are all signs of neglect. Emotional neglect is the failure to provide adequate opportunities to socialize with friends and family and engage in meaningful activities. Abandonment occurs when the caregiver relinquishes his or her caregiving duties and neglects to arrange for sufficient care and support of the individual during his or her absence. Financial neglect involves failing to pay rent, mortgage, medical insurance, invoices, utility, garbage bills, and property tax or other assessments. Now, self-determination is also an important factor in these scenarios, because self-determination is the right to choose, and everyone is afforded this right. If the state would come as a result of a report and offers resources that could be beneficial to the person they are visiting with and who the report was on, that person still has the right to accept or reject recommendations for services. However, the state can also determine if there should be a guardian assigned and that this person really does need a legal guardian. So, let me share one particular situation that I became aware of. The state was investigating a potential abuse call, and the senior was given a choice to be removed from the home and also the opportunity to file charges against the person providing abuse, but they declined those rights. This senior was more afraid of the unknown and being removed from the home, and they also didn't want charges filed against their family. That is a good example of how the state came in, took control of the situation, started making recommendations that would be beneficial to the person, but the person exercised their right to say no. Another example is one that I heard just yesterday, and I happened to be at a health fair, and a concerned friend came by my booth, and she told me that she is very concerned for her friend, and I said, have you tried to make a report? And she said, oh, I've made many reports about my friend and her situation with the state because she is not being cared for like she should be. Her family has moved in with her and they are using her home and her money. It would appear that the friend has done everything that she can do for the one that she is concerned for, and now really she needs to leave it in the hands of the state. So, sadly, we moved on to another discussion of care options that might be available if when she is able to help her friend in a different way. In my years of working with families and their loved ones, I have noticed that many families will come up with this solution. And this is where there might be a disabled family member who needs some additional support, whether it's financial or social or care support. And then they decide to move in the aging loved one with this disabled family member. And while this may sound like a great idea and a wonderful solution, and there might be situations where this could work, I want to caution you because being a caregiver is a tough job for someone who is not disabled, but it can produce additional stresses and strains when a person is not emotionally or physically up to the task. So just bear that in mind as you're problem solving and looking for good solutions for your aging loved one. From AARP, elder abuse has been called by some the crime of the 21st century. With good reason, because demographics alone show how we are fast becoming an aging society. We are told that in one day in the United States, 10,000 people turn 65, and that by the year 2035, there will be more people in this country over the age of 65 than children under the age of 18. Paul Greenwood, retired San Diego deputy district attorney, says that an effective response to combat this crime involves more than law enforcement, social services, or prosecutors. We need to engage people from all walks of life, such as mail carriers, bank tellers, clergy, hairdressers, neighbors, and adult children of aging parents. I know that this has been a difficult topic today, but it is an important topic. As always, knowledge goes hand in hand with good decision making. Sometimes you can't be there to take care of your loved one, or you do not have the caregiving skills or temperament. Maybe your present situation is not the best scenario to bring in an aging parent. When it comes to helping a senior who needs support, we need a village. And I want to leave you with that thought. You do not have to do it all, nor do you have to take it all on yourself. Be smart. Now, here is my caregiver tip for today. Remember that people have the right to make choices, even if it is a bad choice. And perhaps you are caring for a senior that is not making what you think is a good choice. Offering respect for the person and their choices being made can be very difficult, but it is necessary. If you are unable to be involved due to ethical issues or genuine concern, you may have to step out of that care picture or even resign as a power of attorney. Professional assessments can also provide valuable insights into your loved one's decision-making capacity. They might also be helpful if when you might need to apply for guardianship because they're incapacitated. Hiring a third party to provide care or help with care coordination is also a great practice. Here is an example that might be helpful for you. A gentleman who had a history of cognitive deficit had a trust fund, and because of his friendly nature, he seemed to attract the kind of relationships that left him vulnerable. His friends or girlfriends would borrow money, have him take them to lunch, and then ask him to buy things for them. The family had navigated this situation successfully for years, and when he became a senior, they decided to move him into a senior living community that might afford him a little bit more security and protection from his so-called friends. Well, it was a great idea, but it really didn't solve the problem. Those friends were still present when he went out and about, and also were hanging out and staying at him in the community and still exhibiting those same behavior patterns. The family was worn out from navigating this scenario, so they hired a third-party advocate to provide the companionship he was looking for, shop with him, keep a handle on where the trust fund allowance was being spent, and give them a break. So, caregivers, when you need help, then it's okay to ask for help. That will make you a good caregiver and prevent your loved one from any concern of neglect or abuse. Thank you for listening today, and I look forward to being with you again. Thank you for joining me today. Please remember that this podcast is intended as guidance and not advice. Share this podcast with friends and family who are currently in crisis mode or with people who would like to start developing their own roadmap for aging in place. Listeners, if you would like a deeper dive into a topic discussed during a podcast, please subscribe to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers, where you will be able to access premium content. Or if you would like to suggest a topic for this podcast, please contact me at linda.agingstrategies@gmail.com. As always, I value the time spent.